Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 11, Number 6. In the last edition of Clinical Review, my topic was recovery, which is also the theme of our upcoming conference and trade show, September 29th, 2012, in Coquitlam. Tracy and I hope you can all make it. Recovery is a primary biological response and complex organic process that occurs after exposure to athletic training, exercise, and sport. All athletes must fully recover from the stress of mental, emotional, and physical activity. Adequate rest and sleep is obvious, but the body must also obtain the resources it needs from food and dietary supplements to fully replete the energy and micronutrients expended during exercise. On this edition of Clinical Review, we'll return to our continuing series of Principles of Sports Nutrition, PSN number 14, Bones and Joints. The human skeleton is comprised of 206 bones and is divided into the axial skeleton, which includes the head and trunk, and the appendicular skeleton, which defines the arms and legs. The bones are the framework of the body and are attached to each other at joints. The skeletal system gives attachment to the muscles, provides leverage, and assists in body movement. It also supports surrounding tissue and protects vital organs and soft tissue in the body. The skeleton acts as a storage facility for lipids in the form of yellow bone marrow. Bones store many mineral salts, including calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, vanadium, manganese, iron, selenium, and molybdenum. All of these elements are as important to bone health as calcium, and they all need to be considered when it comes to building a program of health and healing for the bones. The entire skeletal system consists of cartilage, bone tissue, bone marrow, and a surrounding membrane called the periosteum. Bone, or osteotissue, as it's called, is actually a form of connective tissue consisting of four types of cells. Its basic composition is 25% water, 25% protein, and 50% mineral salts. Poor hydration and insufficient protein intake contribute as much to faulty bone development and bone disease as does inadequate intake of essential minerals. So bone health is much more than just getting enough calcium. It has to do with many variables, including protein, metabolism, sodium intake, and dietary pH, to name just a few. Although most people don't, we should think of bone as living tissue made up of specialized cells. Some bones are classified according to their shape, while others are classified according to their location. The four types of bone cells include osteoprogenitors, and these develop into osteoblasts. And then there's the osteoblasts themselves, which are active in bone formation, osteocytes, the principal cells of mature bone, and osteoclasts. It is the osteoclasts that instigate bone resorption and bone breakdown. To a large degree, the composition and density of bone is regulated by the amount of strain or pressure on it. This is a function of both gravity and muscle contraction. More strain leads to greater mineral integration and a favorable influence on bone density. Inactivity is harmful to our bones and accelerates porosity and decay. But the activity required must include the use of all primary muscle groups under load, as the impact of weight-bearing stress is generally site-specific only to those regions of direct muscle involvement. So seated bicep curls, for example, have little or no effect on your ankle bones. As muscles shorten, they force movement by tugging on bones through attachment to tendons. A good exercise program should involve muscular work and lifting forces directed towards the entire skeletal system. This is known as the principle of symmetry. In practical terms, this means that we should train our entire body. Symmetry means that an equal amount of attention is given to the entire body, as in every body part. Now, every day, millions of old bone cells die off. The process of replacing these old cells with new healthy ones is called bone remodeling. Bone remodeling is best achieved when fibers of the bone matrix are exposed to the right amount and form of weight-bearing stress or resistance. Weight-bearing stress puts pressure on bone, and this positive stress is what generates the bioelectrical spark that ignites the continual process of growth. Senior citizens take medication and calcium for sure, but they usually lack the spark which is critical for mineral deposition. It's the training component that is typically missing in seniors with osteoporosis. Of course, they also use cheap, incomplete forms of calcium that are very poorly absorbed, useless, or even toxic. And speaking of toxicity, let's consider the effects of prescription medication on bone health. Steroids and corticosteroids are used for a wide variety of conditions, including inflammatory intestinal illness, asthma, and rheumatoid arthritis. When used for a short time or injected into a joint or swollen area, there's no adverse effect on bone health. But when used for longer periods of time, say 3 months or more, they begin to destroy the bone building process. Studies show that within the first year after starting corticosteroid therapy, patients lose an average of 14% of their bone mineral content. Thyroid meds used to control thyroid activity also interfere with bone repair and bone building health. Recent studies in Canada indicate that at least 30% of the population suffers from some form of abnormal thyroid condition. And acids with aluminum are used to treat heartburn, acid reflux, indigestion, excess stomach acid, and ulcers. Aluminum impedes the absorption of calcium. In essence, these things are used by millions of people almost daily, and they are very toxic to bone health. Proton pump inhibitors are designed to reduce gastric acid production. They are used in the treatment of conditions such as acid reflux, stress gastritis, and peptic ulcers. These drugs also impair or inhibit calcium absorption. Frequent or prolonged use of antibiotics can impair healthy bone structure and function. Keep in mind that antibiotics have no effect on viral infection. Anticonvulsant medication used to prevent seizures inhibits the liver's ability to metabolize vitamin D3. Chemical diuretics increase urine volume and are used to treat high blood pressure and congestive heart failure. Loop diuretics are a particular problem for bone development as they cause the kidneys to excrete excess calcium. Blood thinners or anticoagulants used for the treatment of heart problems can inhibit calcium absorption and bone building. Lithium, used to treat patients with bipolar, increases the production and release of parathyroid hormone, which in turn increases the breakdown of bone. And then there are the chemotherapy drugs. They interfere with the formation of bone and cause a loss of bone density. So most, if not all, of these drugs interfere on some level with the absorption and utilization of calcium. And of course, calcium plays a significant role in skeletal and joint health. It was Dr. Colgan who first told me about the relationship of calcium to the loss of muscle. In his book, The Sports Nutrition Guide, Colgan calls calcium the anabolic mineral. Basically, the parathyroid glands located on the rear surface of the thyroid gland, produces parathyroid hormone. When blood calcium levels are low, the parathyroid gland increases the production and release of parathyroid hormone, and it's this action that has the catabolic effect on both bone and skeletal muscle. So people who are losing bone mass are also losing muscle. Athletes who lack sufficient calcium are at risk of losing functional tissue, and this explains how some athletes, when they start taking appropriate amounts of calcium, experience an anabolic effect and gain up to 5 pounds of lean mass in a year. Parathyroid hormone is reduced, and muscle, which was being ravaged along with bone without them even being aware of it, returns to normal levels where it should have been back if they had started taking calcium. Most of us take things or do things because we have to out of necessity. We're not thinking in terms of prevention, and that's where the science comes in. Now, perhaps you've heard recently that taking calcium supplements can increase the risk of having a heart attack. The findings of a study published in the journal Heart were based on data from almost 24,000 men and women in Germany aged 35 to 64 who were tracked for an average of 11 years as part of a European Cancer and Nutrition Project. Knowing that the study was funded by a grant from German Cancer Aid should give us our first clue regarding the validity of the study. When I heard about this study, I thought, okay, here's another example of how Big Pharma puts the fear of God into people and convinces them not to take supplements or to doubt their own faith and natural health methods. Mission accomplished. Big Pharma manufactures drugs, by the way, that cause osteoporosis, and the profit margins on these drugs are obscene. We're talking maybe a 50 to 100% marginal increase on vitamins, but with the drugs we're talking 10,000, 17,000, 40,000% markups. It's what I call obscene. Now, Big Pharma has very deep pockets, so the first step is to buy off any scientist or physician willing to sell themselves and their credentials to the highest bidder. And believe me, they have a long list. Big Pharma are experts at masking the truth. They love to hide behind generous grants that on paper look like they are given to private corporations and universities to investigate genuine health concerns. But the truth is that they have absolutely no concern for anyone's health except their own. After the study achieves its premeditated purpose of discrediting a certain vitamin, herb, or mineral, in this case, calcium, they dispense the lies they foster by manipulating the media, which they essentially control. The media, of course, can be used very effectively as a form of conventional brainwashing propaganda. But let's stop and use common sense. Millions of men, women, and children worldwide have been taking calcium supplements for decades with wonderful health benefits, including myself. Does all of that suddenly go into the wastebasket? Of course not. This study contradicts logic, which means it must be partial. But the masses are largely ignorant and uneducated and are easily frightened or misled by media sensationalism and hype. To quote Thomas Paine, the author of the book Common Sense, attempting to debate with a person who has abandoned reason is like giving medicine to the dead. Need I say more? In essence, this study was contrived by supplement naysayers paid to fix and dispense it. The data was misrepresented, as it always is, and utilized by the enemies of health and reason to persuade the public not to take dietary supplements. To me, the study carries about as much scientific weight as the statement, people who eat bananas have heart attacks, therefore bananas cause heart attacks. So there you go. To review this study in greater detail, please refer to nhs.uk and type in calcium supplement tablets heart attack in the search menu. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from American clergyman and public speaker William J. Boucher. The individual activity of one man with backbone will do more than 1,000 men with a mere wishbone.